Hey, good morning, and I hope you're having a good week. It's the week after Easter. Praise God, we still got coffee, right? And very excited to be with you this morning. I know we weren't able to get together last week. We have one more week that we're going to be taking off. And continue to pray for our church family, continue to pray for Canton and Fulton County. Oh my gosh, we've just had kind of a little bit of a spike with this COVID stuff, but I think we're getting past it, friends, and I'm very encouraged as to what I'm hearing as far as the numbers and whatnot go. So let's get over the hump here. Let's do our part and move forward. Amen. Hey, I wanted to share a story with you this morning. Many years ago, gosh, it's been almost 30 years now, which is just crazy to me. I was a football coach after I played football in college and all that, and for about 5 years at a little school north of Galesburg, Illinois. And had all kinds of different interactions with some of the kids. Some good, some not so good. Some kids liked you, some kids hated you. You know, it was just one of those things. But it was a great, great experience. But one of the things that I always enjoy watching was seeing some of these young men develop. And one in particular, I was thinking about this morning as I woke up. And this young man was an exceptional athlete. And he, strong, physical, fast, talented, you know, everything you could ever ask for. He was a running back. And really, even as a sophomore, he was able to play at varsity level and whatnot. But I remember his junior year, he came in, great expectations. We were going to have a fantastic year. And the kid broke his foot. And he ended up having a pin put in the foot. Well, that kind of ended his season. It was very difficult. It was tragic. But, you know, nevertheless, he battled back and he overcame adversity, man. And now he's coming into his senior year. And next thing you know, I can't remember when it took place in the season, but I do know this. It was everything. This season had all the expectations. He was a warrior. He was ready to go. Everybody, you know, looked to him. He was a leader, captain, all of that. And next thing you know, he broke his foot again. Or I think the pin that was in there got bent in a football game and they had to go in and surgically repair it. And his season was done again. I remember the setback. I remember the way that it overwhelmed him. And I remember just trying to console him in through tears. And back then, you could actually share the Lord with some people. And it was really kind of special. You know, I had some great exchanges and interactions. That was a really great group of young men. But he overcame that adversity, he battled back, and even though it was a setback and he didn't actually get to do the things, it was very inspirational to me to watch this because he went on to become a great football player in college, and not just on the football field. He was a great man off the field. Now he has I reconnected with him on Facebook. He's got a beautiful family and all this and that. But I'm going to tell you, friends, how we respond to adversity in life is very important. And one of the things that we need to understand is that in life, relationship is so important. You know, God didn't create you and I to be lone soldiers. He didn't create you and I to be alone. He put us in families, is what the scriptures teach us. And it's the family of God. And as flawed as the family of God is, it's really a good thing. And it's been one of the things that's really helped me in my life journey. If you look at what has happened over the last 18 months, or, you know, really the last year, I guess, would be a better time frame. People became isolated during the whole COVID thing and kind of into their own thing. Yeah, we had social media. Yeah, we had, you know, we were living on likes and dislikes of quotes. And then we had the political scenery and all that stuff that went on. But the reality is that as much of that is available to us, it doesn't replace the human-to-human contact that we need and we're created to have. Now, one of the things that we have in this life available to us and in our relationship with Jesus is that we have this thing called friendship. Now, friendship looks a lot of, like a lot of different things to people. I have some very close friends in my life. I think one of the worst advice that I ever received was somebody tried to tell my wife and I, well, don't be friends with people when you're a pastor. I'm like, what are you talking about? That's just craziness. Jesus was always about relationship. He was always about having friends. And friends, I realize you're not going to be able to be best friends with everybody. But man, God will send that one or two or three or four people into your life that will just be there. They'll be your companions and they'll be the ones that you can help. But they don't replace what we have in Jesus. And one of the things that Jesus said to his disciples when they were last together is that not only were they servants, but they were his friends. In fact, let me read it to you out of John 15. It says this, greater love, it's starting with verse 13, greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends, okay? And then he goes on to say, you are my friends. Jesus is letting them know, you're not my servants, you're my friends, okay? If you do what I command, I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business, okay? Instead, I have called you friends for everything that I learned from you, my Father. I've learned from my Father and I have made known to you. Friendship involves transparency. It involves vulnerability. It involves, you know, doing life with one another. And that is what Jesus was saying to them. I have revealed my life to you. I've revealed who I am to you. I have given you the deepest, you have seen the deepest parts of me. And soon they were going to see him in Gethsemane and in the agony and the cross and everything. And Jesus in that moment was saying, listen, you need to understand something. You're not my servants. You're my friends. You see, this is where in John 15, where he's talking about the vine and the branches, and he's talking about remaining in me. You know, he's calling us to produce kingdom fruit in our lives. Well, one of the things that we have to do to produce kingdom fruit is to remain in the vine. And that's that intimate fellowship, that intimate relationship that we have with Jesus. And then he also calls us to love one another. And I know that can be a challenge for us at times. But that greater love is laying down of self and picking up the life of another. That's really what friendship is at its core. You know, it's putting myself aside at times, you know, and looking out for the best interests of somebody else. If there's one thing that I've seen, and I was just talking with a group of pastors this last week on Thursday, the people are desperate for a relationship. You know, we've been ringing a bell that you know, culture recognizes as the church, and they have great expectations of what we're going to do. We're going to get together and put on our little phony faces and let everybody know how blessed we are, and, you know, I'm too blessed to be stressed and all this and that. And, you know, what people are looking for is the reality of relationship where we can be transparent and vulnerable and let them know that despite all the setbacks, just like this young man, despite the setbacks, despite all of that, there is something that I hang on to that is far greater than this, and it's going to propel me into my future. And that thing is Jesus. See, Jesus didn't say that we were going to have a rosy world, did he? He didn't say we were never going to have trouble. In fact, he said quite the opposite. He said that in this world we are going to have trouble, but then he also encouraged us to take heart because he has overcome this world. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, familiar scripture, you know, it talks about they who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Well, that waiting upon the Lord is about really being intertwined with God. It's like that three-stranded cord that's talked about in Ecclesiastes. It's, you know, standing alone, we fall and there's no one there to help us get back up. But when we have another, it's like God comes in the midst of all that thing and he binds our friendships, he binds our relationships together. But friends, can I just tell you something? Friendship alone without Christ at the center of it is really going to be difficult. Here's why. We place expectations that we have for relationships on other people. In fact, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and if you're not drawing from that friendship first, you're gonna take your unmet needs and you're gonna place them upon the other person. I'll give you an example. We do this in marriage all the time, don't we? We want our spouses to meet our deepest needs, but they can't. Only Jesus can do that. Whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, has nothing to do with it. Jesus is the only one who can meet the deepest needs and the deepest longings of your life. He will fulfill all those things. He is faithful even when people aren't. See, when we don't have that in place, our, you know, the vertical relationship, our horizontal relationships go all over the place. And even in marriages, we can have difficulty and all kinds of turbulence and trauma and different things that will happen, because life will happen, friends. I know y'all have perfect families, but I don't have a perfect family. But I do have a commitment to Jesus, and Jesus has helped my wife Kelly and I stay together for, oh my goodness, man, 28 years now. It's amazing what he has done. I'm just very, very, very thankful for everything that Jesus has done in my life. And I will tell you, if you're lonely today, there's an answer for that. That loneliness is not just about being secluded. It's not being about connected on social media. It's being about connected to Jesus first and foremost. And then I would encourage you to examine your relationships in your life. You might be experiencing the resurrection life, but sometimes there's toxic relationships that God wants to remove from your life. And it may be permanently, it may be temporarily. I'm going to tell you, man, when I first got saved, I went from being this, you know, partying jock to a Jesus lover. And people were just like, oh, you're one of them. You know, it's kind of funny how that all happens. But yet, I'm going to tell you, I experienced deep rejection in that. I experienced insecurity. But I'm going to tell you, I learned that Jesus was my friend in those times. And it helped me very much. You know, we are a connected generation in the generations to come, but we're very lonely. And it's because of that one-on-one contact that's been missing. So I want to encourage you, when it's available, make sure that you don't neglect that. Iron sharpens iron, you know. It says in the scriptures that a brother or a sister, you know, a friendship, you know, we're born for adversity. We're born to be battle partners in life. And if you're married, your spouse needs to be your best friends. And I hope he or she is your best friend. I hope you find that in your relationship, because that's the way God designed it. Him first, then our spouses, then our kids, and so on and so forth. You get what I'm saying. I will tell you, toxic relationships, people in your life that you give control over you, man, they will always try to drag you back into what you once were, because they are insecure themselves. And, you know, the reality is, friends, God has a life for you that's abundant, it's full of joy, it's full of mercy. It doesn't mean you're not going to go through hardship, it doesn't mean that you're not going to go through difficulty, but it does mean that you have a Savior that is going to walk through life with you. That's how you can do, as my friend always said to me, enjoy the journey. You can enjoy your journey. You don't have to live, you know, so downcast and depressed. You can live a life that is real. And trust me, friends, I recognize the whole mental health scene is something that's been neglected by the church for a long, long time, and we do need to address that. But the reality is that if we have the foundation of Jesus, boy, it sure helps us. It gives us perspective. It gives us a different vantage point to live our lives from. And when somebody is going through a difficulty, and maybe you've gone through that difficulty too, you can share through your own scars and through your own things. See, that's what mercy and grace is all about. God's grace is amazing. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He gave himself for us, and he gave us a new life to live in him. And I just love that about Jesus. But not only did he do that, friends, he gave us the ability and the empowerment through his grace to live the life that is pleasing to him and that takes us deeper into that intimate place with him. And friends, that's the relationship then we can share with other people. We can be missional people, commissioned to go forth and share Jesus with a generation that is lonely and desperate and hurting. And friends, I hope that is you. I hope this is connecting with you. You know, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And I want to say this to you. I have some great, great friends and relationships in my life. I really do. God has brought, I have some, and one of the things that we do, let me just say this. One of the things that we do is we spend time together. We hang out. We eat together. We share our family life together. We talk. We don't always agree about everything. But we talk and we share life. And we don't just sit there and point out one another's flaws. You know, we accept some of the things about one another that are different. But I'm going to tell you, that even though I can have a great, great relationship with an individual on this earth, I'm going to tell you, the one that I really need to have in place is my relationship with Jesus. And that's the one, because see, as faithful as I want to be as a friend, as faithful as my friends want to be to me, the reality is that they will always let you down at some point because they're not Jesus. Nobody can replace Jesus. Nobody can replace Jesus. Only Jesus can be Jesus. Now, we want to emulate him. We want to be his ambassadors, and we want to represent him well. But I'm going to tell you today, friends, the friendship that you have with Christ is the anchor, and it's the faithfulness that you're looking for. In fact, it says in the scriptures that his faithfulness endures to all generations, and that includes you and me. I hope this has ministered to you. Understand that relationship is vitally important, and you have that relationship available to you when you accepted Christ into your heart and life. Friends, it's as simple as this. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he, Jesus, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Just remember that. We have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is a friend. He doesn't call you servant. He calls you friend. Hey, God bless you. You have a fantastic week. I am so encouraged at what God is doing. I'm hearing great reports. God is answering prayer. There are some great healings that have been taking place in people's lives. And I'm just want to continue to pray for you. Just know that you are blessed in Jesus. Doesn't matter what you're going through, where you're at, we're here for you. We love you, and we're praying for you. God bless you. Have a great week.